Mark chapter 19. Verse 66. I'm going to read verse 54 and then skip up to 66. And Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again, he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly, you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. Let's pray. Father God, we pray as we look into your scriptures that you would help us to find wondrous things in your law, in your word that would encourage us in our walk and strengthen us to follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I know this is a horrible way to start, but I'm going to ask you something that I know you don't want to answer. I'm going to ask you something that I know you don't want to think about. What I want you to do is think back to a time when you were ashamed. You were ashamed of yourself because of a spiritual failure. I mean, one of those major spiritual sins, spiritual failures. A time when you literally despised yourself because something that you did or something that you didn't do. A time where you found yourself somewhere where you swore you would never be. And you couldn't believe that you sunk that low. You felt ashamed and had a sense of self-hatred, not only because of what you did or didn't do, but because of those that you hurt because of it. If you have experienced this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's that moment when you can literally see someone's heart break as you share your sin with them. It's one of the worst feelings in the world. If you haven't experienced that yet, it's probably because you're not old enough. Those of us that are human and have experienced that feeling, that's where we find Peter this morning. I want to see how he got there. I want to look at Peter's failures. I'm going to start in a weird place, but I'm going to start where it ends. And I want you to think about that look. I want you to think about that look that Jesus gives Peter as he denies him for the third time. Listen to this from the Gospel of Luke. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord and how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. How did Peter find himself in that situation? What happened? And most importantly for us this morning, how do you recover from that failure? This morning, we're going to look at what happened to Peter. How could Peter deny Christ? Not just once, not just twice, but three times. The problem is, He was far from Jesus. He distanced himself from Christ. He ignores warnings, which is always a recipe for disaster. He walks through closed doors that God tried to close for him. And he pays no attention to obvious red flags that are waving in front of him as warnings. Basically, what we're going to look at this morning is what we're capable of when we're far from Christ. Last week, we looked at Jesus when he's at trial and how he provided for us the perfect witness. Well, in the midst of that trial, there's a verse that's kind of tucked away that we sort of glossed right over. We ran right over. That's where I want to pick up this morning. I read it to you. Let me read it again. Mark 14, verse 54. Peter had followed him at a distance. Don't you think about that? Peter followed Jesus Christ at a distance, right in the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the trial. Remember at this point all the warnings that Peter had been given. Jesus explained that they were all going to fall away. He even used Scripture to show that he was fulfilling that Scripture. Peter argues with Jesus. So what Jesus does is he focuses in and says, look, this very night, three times, you will deny me. Peter emphatically, Scripture tells us, says, no, if I've got to die, I won't deny you. Jesus then takes them on and tells them, remember, warning, watch and pray. Your flesh is so weak. There's temptation coming. You need to be praying. Of course, Peter falls asleep. And all this is setting the stage for what's happening here. Jesus is on trial, and behind the scenes is Peter running around unprotected, unprepared, and he will deny his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the first time in Scripture that it says someone is following Jesus from a distance. Now I understand, and I'm sure it's running through your head, yeah, it says that, and it means he was literally at a distance physically. And yes, that's true. But understand, every time this word following is used in the Gospel of Mark, it always means walking behind someone. It suggests loyalty and allegiance to follow someone. It means this total commitment. An exclusive relation to one who is recognized not just as teacher, but as Messiah. So when it says that Peter is following at a distance, it means he's following half-heartedly. It means that there's not a total commitment here on Peter. When we allow a distance in our relationship with Christ, we are inviting failure. When we are off in our walk with Christ, when we try to follow him from a distance, we are in a dangerous place. When we are not diligently searching the Scriptures and seeking his face, we are in a dangerous place. The Christian walk is not to be done from afar. God did not create new life in you just to be cheerleaders only. He wants his children to be getting dirty. He wants his children to be following him close. I often try to get as practical as I can when we look at the Scriptures together. And I hope that's helpful for you. I couldn't help but think about this. What if, instead of this morning asking each other how you're doing, what if we did this? What if we asked this question? It's a hard one. But what if we did this? How close are you following Jesus? How is your relationship with Christ? What is he teaching you? Do you see how different? Do you see what we're inviting? Let's search each other. What is God teaching you? How close are you following Christ? Do you see what the answers can be? It'd be beautiful if we can say, I'm closer than I've ever been. Here's what I want to, can I share with you what He's taught me this week? You see, that's what we're supposed to be feeding on Him. We're supposed to be getting closer to Him so that we have something to share. So that when we talk with each other, this is what God's teaching me. And we encourage each other and we strengthen each other. How often is the flip side? If somebody were to come up to you and say, what's God teaching you? I haven't read anything in a while. I haven't spent any time with Him. Matter of fact, now that you ask that, I'm pretty distant from Him. It's a dangerous, dangerous place. See, here's the problem. We know how it feels to try and follow Christ from afar. It doesn't work. What will happen is our hearts will grow cold spiritually. And because there's a distance, we feel that distance. We feel that loss of fellowship. And it leaves us wanting something. Instead of running to His throne the way that we should, instead of drawing close to Him the way that we should, we allow the lies and deceptions of the enemy to warm us. There's Peter warming himself by the fire. I assure you, the enemy has a lot of things that he will place in front of you that will warm you and excite you when you're far from Christ. Do you see how dangerous? If the enemy can get just a little distance between us and the Word, us and Christ, if he could get just a little bit distance between us and the source of our joy, the source of our patience, the source of our strength, the source of our wisdom, if he can get just a little bit distance there, I gotcha. That's what he's thinking. He's got us right where he wants us. Because then he can come and do work. That's when we'll entertain things that we would never entertain if we were following Christ closely. We've all heard it said before, you can't play with fire without getting burnt. It is so, so true. And here's a sad picture that gets even bleaker of Peter warming himself by the fire, far from Jesus. How many of us this morning have ignored those warning signs? How many of us, we love Jesus. We want to follow Him. But then you put those things that get in the way of your relationship. You put those little idols that don't look like idols, but they are. You put those things that get in the way of your relationship and put distance in your relationship with Christ. Further and further away we are from the Lord, the stronger and stronger the temptation of the world to warm us is. What's really interesting here is how Peter got there. How Peter got there to warm himself by the fire in the courtyard. Remember what Jesus has done for Peter. He warns him. He pleads with him. Peter's not listening. So what Jesus does, what God does, is he puts a closed door. Let me read this for you. We find this in the Gospel of John. Let me read this. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. They think that was John. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. So that disciple, we think John, goes in with Jesus. But listen to this. But Peter stood outside at the door. Do you see what God does here? He puts a closed door so Peter can't go in. What Peter should have done was, okay, He's warned me. He has challenged me. He told me what's going to happen if I go through that door. I should turn and run. I should go the other way. But he doesn't. He fights to get into the courtyard. It's amazing to me. The reason why we read that passage about Cain is because that was a closed door. Right? God warned him, look, sin is crouching at that door and it is going to jump all over you. Don't go. Jesus has warned Peter. Don't go through that. How many times has God made it clear to us? Understand, this isn't a gray issue. This isn't one of those things where you're praying for guidance and you don't know, is this a closed door? That's not what this is talking about. This is a black and white. The door is closed. Sin is right there waiting to have you. This is when you know that you know, I'm not supposed to go there. I'm not supposed to do that. This isn't right. But you're so far away from Christ that you just walk right through. And it's amazing to me, personally, how we'll bust that door open. How we will pursue and we will do whatever it takes to get that door open. Even when God has made it clear, do not enter. Look what happens as Peter enters, as he walks through. Somehow they work it out and he gets in. And there's this servant girl. And I don't mean to be mean this morning, but it's a servant girl. She's not that much of a threat. Remember, this is Peter who whips out the sword and thinks he's going to take on all of them. This is a servant girl. And when she asks Peter, do you know him? He denies it. You see, when there's distance in our relationship with Christ, it's amazing the things that we'll fear. The confidence that we lose, the assurance that we lose, the dangers that our minds will invent and create. I mean, it just seems like she's just asking a question with no evil intent, with no threat of danger. But the problem is Peter has a guilty conscience. And a guilty conscience fears everything. How many times has a child or a grandchild of yours displayed that guilty conscience? You're at the table. Can you pass me the bread? And all of a sudden, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to eat the candy. What? I just wanted the bread. You see? That's what's happening here with Peter. Hey, didn't you know him? Just asking a question. It's a servant girl. She's not a threat. I didn't know him. No. I don't know what you're talking about. Because he has a guilty conscience. Pay close attention to her question, would you? You also were with the Nazarene, right? Were you not with him? What an opportunity to be a great witness Peter had here. Yes, I was with him. And I've abandoned him. That man's going to die for me. And I left him. What a great witness. Do you see the reality here? Every single one of us is going to fail at some point this week. Maybe even in front of people that don't know him. And they're going to come up and ask us, I thought you were with Jesus. I thought you were a Christian. Yes, I am. And I failed. Forgive me. Do you see? Instead of, no. That's what we do. We defend ourselves instead of saying, you're right. I really messed up. Will you forgive me? I didn't show you what Christ really looks like. Instead, we defend ourselves. He denies knowing him or even understanding what she's talking about. It must have sounded so foolish. Then he walks away and the rooster crows. This should have been a major red flag. He denies and then he walks away and he hears the rooster. And alarms should have been going off. Oh no, what have I done? And he should have remembered, okay. And he should have got out of there. But he doesn't. So many times, God will disrupt our lives by reminding us, by pricking our consciences, by reminding us with these red flags. You shouldn't be doing this. What are you thinking? Look at what you're doing. How often do we ignore him? Should have stopped him in his tracks. You know, God promises us that he will always provide a way out. He will always give these red flags. He will always give these warnings. How many times have you failed? Have we failed spiritually? And we look back and say, ah, there was that. I should have, right there, that was my opportunity. Right there, that's when I should have turned. That's when I should have. Those are those red flags. Those are God's way of providentially pricking our consciences and saying, look, stop what you're doing. The sound of the rooster is ignored. He denies knowing Christ again. And Peter's left alone for a while. Matter of fact, Luke tells us an hour passes. At this point, I think in Peter's mind, he's thinking, okay, I got away with it. I could kind of just blend right back in. It seemed like there was a fuss, but now there's not. And this is what we do. It's the same thing. Time passes and there was no immediate consequence. So we think, got away with that one, snuck that one by God. Then one of the bystanders says to Peter, certainly you are one of them. You are a Galilean. And Peter's response here is kind of scary. He invokes a curse on himself and he swears, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Understand clearly here, Peter doesn't just have a potty mouth and he's not just swearing. I almost wish it was just him using bad language. That's not the case here. It's far worse. Listen to what this is in a sense what Peter is saying. I almost shudder to say it. May God Almighty damn me to hell if I am lying. If what I am saying is a lie, may God Himself take my life right now. That in a sense is what Peter is doing. This last time when he denies Jesus Christ. The incredibly beautiful thing is the grace of God at this point. That he doesn't strike Peter down dead. Instead of striking him down, Scripture says, and catch this, immediately the rooster crowed. Make no mistake, this isn't a red flag anymore. This is the reminder of what Jesus told him. At that moment, I can't imagine the emotion. As the rooster crows, Peter turns his head and catches the eyes of Jesus. See what Scripture says? This is the sense of what it says. He wept. The more he thought about it, he wept more. He continued weeping. That heartbreak where you have let someone down. Not only that, but you've let someone down that is going to die for you. You have let someone down that is going to give his life for you. just like last week, our scripture ends here, and it would be a horrible place for us to end. With Peter here sobbing uncontrollably. Because what we know is it's not the end of the story. And we know that because we can read the scriptures. But let me ask you this. Do you know that your story's not over? Maybe some of you, even as you're sitting there, as I started off this morning, you're thinking, Steve, you have no idea where I'm at spiritually right now. You have no idea how far I am. You have no idea where I stand right now. The beautiful truth, your story isn't over. And I want us to get that this morning. Allow this to encourage you. So I want you to, I love this. This is Peter after the fact. Okay? We've got to go through some tough scriptures in the next couple weeks as our Lord and Savior is destroyed, is murdered for us. But then he comes back. And he goes back up. And here's the effect that it had on Peter. And here's the effect that it can have on us. That our story's not over. Listen to this. I'm not even telling you where I am because I want you to hear this. When they saw the boldness, when they saw the confidence, when they saw the power, when they saw this in Peter and John, the two disciples that tried to follow him, but at a distance, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. If that doesn't give you goosebumps, you better check your pulse. Did you see what I'm challenging you with this morning? May we live our lives in such a way that it is undeniable that you've been with Jesus. Write that down. That you live your life such a way that it is undeniable that you have been with Jesus. They had such a boldness. They had such a confidence. Why? They were uneducated. They were just Peter. It's just us. Right? Just a bunch of people from Stanley County. But we've been with Jesus. And you can't deny that when people see that in you. You can't not show Jesus if you're following close. If you're with him. Here's my prayer. I promise we're ending here. Here's my prayer. Boy, this is beautiful. Oh Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants, grant all of us to continue to speak your word with boldness, with confidence. And it goes on. When they had prayed, the place in which they gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That's my prayer. That we will spend so much time in His Scripture, so much time seeking His face, that we will carry with us this boldness when we go out there that people can't deny. Them folks have been with Jesus. Them people are with Jesus. Father God, fill us to overflowing with your Spirit. Fill us as we seek your face, as we study your scriptures, as we dig in, that you would change us from the inside out, that it would be so undeniable because you shine through us. People would scratch their heads and say, what? That uneducated Stanley County been with Jesus? They would see us, see you through us. Oh, Father, we can't do it on our own. We've got so much work to do. There are so many people outside these walls, maybe even in these walls this morning that need to see Jesus, that need to know the hope, that need to know what you have accomplished on the cross. Father, give us boldness. Forgive us for the times that we've hidden your light. Forgive us for the times that we haven't shared. Forgive us for the opportunities that we have blown. Forgive us for those times we've been a bad witness. Forgive us for those times that we have denied you as our Lord and Savior by the things that we've said and did. We are so sorry. Only you can restore what the locusts have eaten. Only you can restore the damage that we have done. Give us boldness. Give us strength. Give us give us Christ. Give us your Spirit. We love you and we praise you. Keep us close by your side. In Jesus' name, amen.